As are a few of you out there, I'm a bit of a movie buff. I like to read books, but as my eyesight grows dimmer, it's more challenging. I get the audio books, I guess. But over the years, ever since I was very young, I've always wanted to be part of the story. I've always imagined myself there with the characters. In my mind, I would play things out, you know. I just wondered, anyone else do that? Anyone else try to be into the story so much? Actually, there are marketers out there that count on it. In fact, you go through the toy aisle, and whether you're a 7-year-old kid or a 70-year-old kid, it doesn't really matter. You all go out and buy your toys, right, Tim? There's been several stories that I've kind of been looking at, and it's got me thinking. You know, whether it be Rogue One, which I've seen recently, part of the Star Wars saga. There's also a movie called The Order of the Phoenix with Harry Potter, if there's any Harry Potter fans out there. Or even The Lord of the Rings, The Fellowship of the Ring, a group of nine individuals who set out to be the saviors of trying to think of the name of the land, I can't. But of all these different groups, have you ever imagined yourself being part of the story? Whether you're familiar with Rogue One or if you're still dreaming of being Luke Skywalker or Princess Leia or Han Solo, some of you may want to be Chewbacca, that's fine. Or if you want to pull out a wand and run around with Harry Potter casting spells. I asked Tim to bring his stick. And maybe Tim's gone through the woods pretending he was Gandalf the Great. Greg, Gandalf the White. These are things that we use, that we play in our imaginations. Or maybe, and tell me that this isn't so, if you ever be at the beach or just out of the shower, and you take your towel and you put it on and you pretend you're Superman. I know that Darren Crowden has done that on more than one occasion. It's fun to be part of the story. And for those youngsters, I won't mention any ages or anything, but Toy Story. Imagine you're one of the toys, Buzz Lightyear or Woody, whichever you prefer. Or maybe you want to be a Slinky Dog. That last picture there is not a picture from a movie, but The Great Escape. Some of my favorite actors, James Garner, Charles Bronson, Steve McQueen, played these men. These men were actually part of a true, real story where they dug tunnels out of their stalag to escape. My grandfather was a POW. He wasn't part of a great escape, but he was part of a story. There's another story. Actually, there's quite a few stories that we can go through and see that in here, it's packed full. And just like the Great Escape, this is real. This actually happened. See, God had sent many prophets out to give His message, to talk to the people, not only His chosen people. Noah went out and he preached to the world of the coming destruction, and they needed to change. Unfortunately, they didn't listen. Or Moses. A lot of action and adventure there. Going before the Pharaoh. Even before that, looking out and seeing the burning bush. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine looking out and seeing a bush? Wait, it's on fire. But it's not being consumed. In 1 Kings chapter 19, it tells a story, and this is the after effects of the story when Elijah had gone to Mount Carmel. Do you recall the story? There is Elijah, standing alone, putting a challenge to the prophets of Baal. Can you imagine being there? Have you been in a big stadium? They were on Mount Carmel. There were just crowds of people watching. Hundreds of prophets of Baal. And the challenge was there. Can you imagine being there wondering, is God going to answer my request? Am I going to look like a fool standing out here when this wasn't God's plan? But you know, what if He does answer my request and it makes them look like fools? Which it did. What are they going to do to me? In verse 11, then he said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord." Back up a little bit. First of all, Elijah... What are you doing, Elijah? He went off to a cave. He says, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and the great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks into pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. But after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice." So it was when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in the mantle, went out, and stood at the entrance of the cave. And suddenly a voice came to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And he said, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, killed your prophets with a sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life." Well, Well, we see the result of this conversation in verse 18. When the Lord said, "Yet I have reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him." Can you imagine being one of those 7,000? Or in Luke chapter 10. This is after God had chosen, or Christ had chosen, his 12 apostles. And he called them one by one, Peter, Andrew, James, and John. If you know the song, you can probably roll it right off your tongue. But after he chose the 12, he chose 70 or 72, whichever translation you're looking at. They went out according to what God had said, what Christ had said, go out and teach and tell them that what is coming. And they went out. When they returned, and they're in verse 17, the 70 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." Can you imagine that? Can you imagine being able to call upon a demon and they obey because you're speaking in the name of Christ? This really happened. But there were others. Barnabas and Mark, Silas. Of course, among those three names, there was a bit of a story to tell. Because Paul and Barnabas went out on missionary journey. They took Mark along. But somewhere Mark quit. This is John Mark. This is the one that wrote the account. He went back. It was time for another missionary journey, and Paul and Barnabas were going to go out again, and Barnabas says, "Let's take Mark." "I don't want to take Mark." Can you imagine being Mark, knowing that you didn't stick it out, feeling sorrowful for the actions you had before. And there is Barnabas saying, "I'll take Mark. I'll be there to stand up and give Mark another chance." And Paul was okay with that. He says, "Fine. I'll take Silas." They doubled their efforts. Or to be Stephen. Have you read the sermon in Acts chapter 7? A magnificent sermon. Hope I don't have the same results from his sermon today. They were cut to the heart. Just like with Peter's sermon in Acts chapter 2, they were cut to the heart, but they gnashed with their teeth. They started to pick up stones and throw at him. Can you place yourself in that story? Is it alive? Or in Acts chapter 18, verse 24 to 28. Charlie, can you imagine you and your wife sitting down with Apollos saying, "You know, I appreciate your efforts, but let me show you a few things." While these things did happen, this is not the end of the story. There have been many men and women who have continued the story. I'm going to skip a lot of the time between the falling away. I believe there were faithful Christians at that time, but I'm going to skip up to the Restoration Movement. Barton W. Stone. When I first read about Barton W. Stone, it's like, this man seems like he's a liberal denominationalist. But he was actually moving from a denominational background into that which was true. Trying to find out what the Bible actually taught. N.B. Hardiman, great preacher. Can you imagine having a name like Raccoon John Smith? And there are some names that you guys are a little more familiar with. Paul and Mildred Cantrell. Bob Williams. But still there are many more who are taking part in this story. Paul, Janet Yoder, Bill Shaar, Jane Patrick, Craig and Colleen Buck, Jacob Danes, Amelia Deitch. I knew I'd get her attention. Yeah, she's taking part in this story as well. Zane Peterson. And you. Each and every one of you, you're here this morning listening to God's Word, singing praises to His name. You are part of this story. Yes. Yes. You don't have to put on a beach towel. To me, this is not Gandalf's staff. It's one I see at least once a year. Yes. Yes. My good brother, Tim Williams. It's his. And every year he's at camp. And he pulls this out. And that's part of the story. What is the story? What is this story that we are a part of? No doubt, it is an action and adventure. You want the biblical proof, just read about the parting of the Red Sea. Yes, sir. Read about the Valley of Dry Bones. Now that was a vision, but you want an exciting read? Dig into all of Ezekiel's writings. Look into Ezekiel 16, where God is showing, we go from action adventure to a love story, where He's showing His love and adoration for that which was not lovely. He took Israel out of her own blood, cleaned her up, adorned her with fine clothes, jewels, and gave her fine, you know, cakes of fine flour. Talk about a love story. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. He died on the cross for our sins. He made us a beautiful bride. Ephesians 5:25, we see that He is our husband. It's a tearjerker at times. Matthew chapter 23. Verse 37. Jesus says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who were sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. But you were not willing. It's also a war story. But you see, the war has already been won. Ephesians 1, verses 19 to 23. This is a great passage. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and he seated him at his right hand and in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. He won the war. We don't have to worry about winning the war. But there are still many battles. We are in the aftermath of the war. There are many wounded. There are many dead. But don't you fret about the ones who are dead. We have a Lord who can raise people from the dead. And I'm not talking about physically. He proved that he could do it physically. But I'm talking about spiritually. There are dead people all over. There are few here among us. They don't know they're dead. I have a weapon. It's a sword. It's a two-edged sword. As I go out into the battlefield, I can't get it out. There it goes. I also have a dagger. We are defending ourselves against the lies of Satan, against the corruption, against the vileness. And we take our little medical kit, and as we see those who are wounded, not only is it a sword, but it also has healing capabilities. Do you want to be part of a story? Do you want to be part of a very real story? I don't want to miss this passage because it was turned to Psalms 107. Verse 19. Through 21. And they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their own destructions. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. But also in Philippians chapter 2. If there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded and having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also the interests of others. We're part of the story. And whether it be delivering a cup of cold water in the name of Christ, reaching out and helping someone, but not forsaking giving the message, we have the opportunity to be a part of this story. You are a part of this story. Live it out. I had Lisa put something in the bulletin. In 1910, Englishman John Simpson Kirkpatrick was a teenage deserter from the British Merchant Navy who found himself stranded in Australia. He enlisted in ANZAC, the Australian New Zealand Army Corps, as John Simpson. In 1914, and was designated a stretcher bearer. His medical ship was sent to Gallipoli Peninsula of Turkey in 1915 during the battle in which 130,000 men died. Simpson rounded up a few donkeys to use in carrying the wounded over the rough terrain and spent 24 days ferrying casualties from the battlefront to the seashore, often under fire. Simpson and the donkey he named Duffy were called the bravest of the brave by soldiers of various nationalities in Gallipoli. He carried out his rescue mission day after day until he was killed by a sniper on May 19, 1915. Simpson was 22 years old at the time of his death. There's a battlefield, and Satan's got a lot of ammunition. But there are a lot of people on that field that need your help. Do you have the courage to go out to sniper fire? Do you have the faith as a shield to take with you? It takes a lot of courage to come up here and speak. Also takes courage and compassion to go to a nursing home and sit and read to someone who can't see anymore. I encourage you all to be a part of the story. And as is our custom, we're also going to offer an invitation. If you want to express to the elders here, maybe just another member, your desire to be either to be a part of this or to be more involved, or you need help, take this opportunity now. Because we're offering. We want you to be part of the story. We want you to be part of the family. We're here with open arms. So if you have that need, please come and stand.